Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hi, everyone. It's Belinda, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I have Steve Weiss with me today, and Steve is a lifelong entrepreneur, having started his first successful venture at age 16 in his high school's computer lab. Steve is supremely passionate about building and recruiting agile marketing teams that execute. Over the last 3 years, Steve invested most of his time building Mute 6 as a performance marketing powerhouse. It's since grown at a rate of 300% plus per year and is the most awarded Facebook social advertising agency with more Facebook and Instagram marketing case studies than any other agency. In 2017, Mute 6 was named one of Inc. magazine's best workplaces and ranked number 341 on the Inc. 5000 list of fastest growing private companies. Steve is a highly regarded speaker on entrepreneurship, e-commerce, and Facebook advertising. He's recently been a featured speaker at Mumbrella, Affiliate World Europe, the Digit Growth Summit, the Seller Summit, and can be heard weekly on the Spend 10K a Day Digital Media Podcast. It's my pleasure to welcome Steve.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, it's great, Steve, to have you on this show. So let's jump right in. And why don't you take a few minutes and kind of fill us in a little bit on your background and just kind of fill in the gaps in that bio for us, if you will.
Cool. So I've been kind of what you call an internet marketing lifer. I have no practical experience in any other walks of life. I don't know how to hang pictures, change car tires on my car. I know pretty much one thing I bring value prop, I think, and that's digital marketing. I started, as you laid, I started my first company when I was, I think, 16. And pretty much I've evolved as the internet's evolved. And, you know, obviously early adapter on Facebook. I was using Facebook when I was in college. So I saw the power of Facebook advertising super early on, and just by driving people to come watch my, I used to be a stand-up comedian. So I originally used Facebook to help people drive to my stand-up comedy shows, driving traffic to get people to come to my comedy shows. And I saw that was a very, very powerful means. And since then, I've evolved. I've seen that you can use Facebook advertising to drive traffic to pretty much any type of product or service online. You know, there's an audience for everything, and that's kind of how I'm here today. Mute 6 grew out of the need of, you know, that intersection between performance marketing or data-driven marketing and what you call the creative side. So we're both a video studio as well as a performance marketing agency, kind of a combination of the two.
Tell us then, so what part of the country are you from, Steve?
Originally from New Jersey, definitely the Jersey Shore, a little town called Freehold. We had one famous person come out of that town, and that was Bruce Springsteen. So everywhere I go, I say I'm from the same hometown as Bruce, which is pretty cool. But now I live in Los Angeles. I since escaped the East Coast, and now I'm residing in beautiful LA.
Oh, that's awesome. So tell us a little bit about your business then, and how has that shaped your lifestyle? Obviously, you've been doing this since you were 16, so it's really had to have an impact being the only thing that you've done on the lifestyle that you have today.
Yeah, I think lifestyle, it's interesting when you say lifestyle. I think that, you know, the work-life balance or the work-life integration, as they call it in tech, is something I think about a lot. I'm always trying to figure out, like, how do I continuously improve and become the best version of me? So, you know, a lot of that has been, you know, making sacrifices to grow as a business. I guess almost 60 employees now that rely on me, and, you know, rely on me to lead the company and really put them in positions to be successful. So I think for me to put them in positions to be successful, I have to be the best version of me. So a lot of that has come on my shoulders, and I'm really trying to, you know, obviously I do yoga twice a week. I'm really deep into meditation. I work out five days a week. You know, I have to keep becoming the best version of myself. I can't afford to be sick. I can't afford to not take care of myself. I think the more successful you become, the more onus is on you to keep becoming the most healthiest, best version of yourself. And that's kind of how I think about life.
You know, it's really interesting. And that is this is not something that comes up in a lot of the interviews. So I'm glad that you brought it up. But so I'm starting to try to take better care of me, like, physically, like, as far as working out and staying in shape and being fit and heart healthy and all of that. That's been sort of a something that I'm becoming really more self-conscious about. But it is interesting because as a professional speaker, though, I have taken ownership of, like, my voice, for example, and I don't eat in restaurants that are super, super loud. I don't, like, I'm very, very thoughtful about putting damage on my voice. And I think that when people don't take ownership of how can I be the best version of me? What could be damaging that? And not only that for your own career, but then how many people, like I have a whole staff of employees, not nearly the size that you do, but there are people that rely on you for their income too. So you have to make smart choices. And I don't know that a lot of people think about that, about taking onus of their own health and about what impact that has not only on their business, but on the other people around them.
It's the driver of success. I mean, your body is your temple. And I learned that early on. That was the best piece of entrepreneurial advice I got growing up, was that, you know, if you don't take care of your body, you just won't be successful. If you overwork and you overexert yourself, you're actually taking two or three steps backward and you're not actually going forward. I think that the more healthier you become and the more in shape you become and the more you prioritize your body and your mind, the more successful you'll see your business. They kind of work in unison together. And that's, over the last couple months, I probably dropped 10, 15 pounds, and I'm really focused on, you know, I do meal delivery now, so I'm really big into meal prep and really just making sure that I'm not snacking on the wrong items. And I mean, it's not, everyone's different, obviously, but if you prioritize and it's always on your mind of how to be healthy and how to become the best version of you, you're going to see results and you're going to see a positive impact on your business.
That's great. So what do you think that are two of your greatest skill sets that have helped you to succeed in owning your own business?
Number one, the skill set of, like, empathy. I always call it, you know, I use the word empathy a lot, being able to empathize with both people I work with in the workplace, just trying to understand, you know, their pain points from their vantage point, as well as, you know, clients and partners that we work with. I think that the minute you're able to put yourself in the shoes of someone else and really understand how they would look at this world is the minute you're able to connect with them. So obviously, number one, I would say empathy is a big skill set to have. And I think I've developed a skill set for empathy. And number two, I'd say another, I guess, skill set or core leadership that I've become is just being able to admit that I'm wrong. I think a lot of entrepreneurs are scared to admit that they're wrong or scared to admit that they're not the smartest person in the room. And being able to accept that there's going to be a point in your business where you're not the smartest person at this anymore. There's someone better than you. And I think that that's a great skill, is to really be able to admit you're wrong and really be, you know, along with saying that you're not the greatest at certain things. And I think that's where transparency comes in. So those are the two main things, is number one, empathy, and number two, a form of transparency.
Well, that's great. I love it. I ask some similar questions to a lot of our entrepreneurs, and, you know, we have sort of a set amount of answers that we get consistently, and I'm getting ready to actually do a little freebie on what, after we've done over 100 interviews now, like what entrepreneurs find is their greatest skill set. And I have to say, and I love it, this is the first time that empathy has ever been listed as one of those. So I wrote that down because I really want to capture the essence of what our really successful people we've had on the podcast find is what's helped them in their business. And so I love that. Thanks.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's something that I think is, more and more entrepreneurs are seeing that if you're able to empathize and really understand people, you're going to see your business grow. And there's so many examples over the years that I've just seen that the reason why that this relationship or I've been able to get out of this partnership, what exactly we need to grow, is because I put myself in the position of my counterpart. And I think that once you understand what they want out of the relationship, then, you know, you could build a common bond and you could both get exactly what you want out of the relationship. And empathy is a word that I feel like business books don't really talk enough about. Obviously, you know, I'm a big fan of Ray Dalio. I read his book. I listen to him on LinkedIn podcast. He talks a lot about transparency and empathy, and that's something that I, encourage other entrepreneurs to really, focus on, is how do you put yourself in the position of your counterparts and really figure out how both you and your counterpart can get the most out of this relationship.
That's great. So share with us then one of your most outstanding accomplishments or something that you have done that's super meaningful.
Obviously we've got, Inc. 500, we've grown the business to, seven, eight figures in revenue. I'd say the number one thing is, not, even though it's an award, which, it's just an award, but I'd say that the best workplace one is probably the most important thing, because I put a lot of pressure on myself to continuously put people at my company in the best positions to be successful. I mean, people genuinely want to win. They want to feel like they're making a meaningful impact every single day, the work they're doing. And I think that the more and more you're able to put your team in positions where they could be successful, the more and more you're going to see success in your business. So I really appreciate that accomplishment more. And I want to continue to, work to putting my team in the most successful positions. And I know I'm not perfect, and I'm never going to come out and say that I'm perfect, but it's always, the team comes first, number one. And I think most businesses, they go into the mentality that they want to put people in positions to be successful, and then the business will be successful. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs don't really, they put themselves first. And I feel like that's the wrong mentality to have. And the minute you start, really thinking of the bigger picture of what you're building, is the minute you really open up your eyes and see that there's something bigger than you.
That's fantastic. And I could not agree more. And I do think that people, and I do consulting too, people do become very focused on what their goals are instead of looking at everybody as just an extension of themselves. And like you said, even putting their success above yours is going to, at the end of the day, make the team more successful.
100%. And it motivates, the goal here is like, you want to build your team into leaders. So the question is like, how do you encourage your team to take leadership roles and take ownership over what they're doing? And I think that's something we talk about a lot, is how do we build leaders? How do we give them the confidence to lead? And how do we continuously show them that they are amazing and they are accomplishing? And I think that's something I put a lot of pressure on myself, because reality is just like with all my other team members, I go through great days, I go through bad days. There's days where I question myself as a leader, and I try and overcome a lot of stuff that, a lot of challenges. And I think that we've all been there before. We're overcoming challenges. So I'm very sensitive to that, and it's very important to me. And that's the number one reason I love being an entrepreneur, is that I could bring that sense of purpose to the table. I could have such a positive impact and a positive, result on so many people's lives.
That's great. So then share with us one of your greatest challenges, and then how you worked through that.
Greatest challenges on a personal level or business level?
Do you know what? Either one that you want to share, if you got a great story. And
yeah, so my stepfather, who I consider my stepdad, he passed away in Hurricane Sandy maybe about 5.5 years ago in 2012, and on the New Jersey shore. And a lot of my struggle, I talked to him the night before, we're going to go to Thanksgiving dinner. We're all really excited. And to have someone really close to you that you care about, you really love, just pass away all of a sudden, puts a lot of pressure on you to ask yourself, could I have been there to save him? Could I have done something more meaningful to be at his house and maybe, rescue him? And, a lot of, to this day, I still ask myself, could I have been there? Because at the time I was traveling, and it's a longer story, but I think that you have to let the past, you have to appreciate yourself, and you have to say that, I know I would, if I was there, I would have been able to, kind of save him and be there for him, but there's nothing I could do now. And I think that's the reality. I think for all people who've been through tragedies, you have to come to grips with what the reality is, and you can't recreate other types of scenarios in your mind. And that's been one of the biggest challenges for me, just as an entrepreneur, is to really overcome a lot of those feelings of hurt, of pain. And I think there's a lot of other people in this world who've also overcome those feelings. I think I've become a stronger person, and I wouldn't be here today without his contributions to my life.
Well, that is very difficult. I'm sorry for your loss. That was definitely a terrible tragedy in our country as a whole. That was just the lives there lost and all the destruction. It was horrific at that time. So I'm sorry that you've experienced that. But I do, and you know, everybody's got their grieving that they deal with in their own time, and you can't put a time or a situation on grieving. But I do think that I loved what you said about replanting your mind. And I think that people continue to, they live in that real, and you're right, there, it is the way that it is. And you can't continue to play that real in your head over and over, because it takes up the space of whatever else you're going to do to move forward, because there's really at this, there's nothing that you can do. And so you just have to either, you know, love yourself, forgive yourself, and move forward instead of playing that reel over and over and over. And I think that that is where people get hung up, is they stay in the space of reliving the reel. At least that's what I've seen.
You can't change the outcome. And I always tell myself that, like, you know, there's nothing I can do at this point. At this point, the juncture, you know, I just have to come in and keep having a positive impact on the people that rely on me and that really care about me. I need to come in here. I need to, even though, you know, you have a level of success, you know, you just got to come in every single day and be consistent. Always have your head down. Always be humble. And, you know, a lot of those qualities were qualities that both my mom and him, you know, relate on me. Is just, you know, no matter what level of success you ever become, you know, you're the same person. You put on your pants every single day, and, you know, you just got to be humble, and you got to set the bar for other people, and you really got to be looked upon as someone that, you know, as someone that can lead and someone that people want to be led by. So I think about that a lot, and I just want to set the right example for everyone here. I want to provide someone that they can look up to and someone that, you know, can lead. And that's how I look at myself every day.
That's great. So what's working from your happy place mean to you?
I say the word happy place is being, I mean, a lot of the people at my company, they're like family to me. You know, they look out for me just as much as I look out for them, and I love them. I mean, they're, you know, I didn't have a big family growing up, so they're family to me. So the happy place just means being around all these people each and every day and having their energy kind of rub off on me. We went hiking. You know, I'm very close friends with a lot of people I work with as well. So we went hiking together this week, and happy place kind of means like the memories that you serve with people. And I think happy is people. And I think, like, at the end of the day, like, you have to work hours and hours and hours around each and every one that person that you work with, whether you work for a company, whether you work from home, whatever you're doing. And the key is to select people that you enjoy being around. That's the number one thing when I think of happy places. I have to find people, no matter skill set, I have to find people I enjoy being around. And that's, I love being around everyone here. And I think that's what the happy place means to me.
Would you say, because for me, and this is like, and I know for other entrepreneurs, they get to a place of this too. Wouldn't you say that's also the clients that you work with too?
Yeah, no, that's, secondly is clients, obviously. You know, that's, there's two people in the equation that brings purpose to my life. It's number one, obviously, my employees. Number two, the clients we work with. Being able to see them successful, see them, whether it's raising money, whether it's selling their business, whether it's just scaling their company, having a meaningful impact in their success. That's what, you know, it goes beyond just making money. That's what I really feel like. That's kind of, I feel like that's the purpose that I'm after. That's the deepest thing. And I think in your business, you need to find what's going to drive purpose. What's going to keep you going every day? Like, if I didn't have great clients, like, I wouldn't keep going every day. That's the reality. If I didn't care deeply about them, if I didn't care about their success, I wouldn't be on the phone with them at 11 o'clock at night. Like, every single client we work with, it's on me. It's like, it's not on my team. I feel personally responsible for each one of their campaigns. And I know I'm running a business here, but, you know, I'm very sensitive to that. They've trusted me and my team to grow their baby. They've either left their jobs or they've left what they were doing, and they've set on a journey that has a lot of unknowns. They come to Mute 6 to really figure out how can you help me on this journey. And I take that trust very seriously.
Well, I know I certainly do appreciate that, because I don't know that everybody does. So I don't think they just, a lot of times we work with people we don't want to work with just because of the money. And so I think that you really do get to a place when you can, when you're looking at it as of how you can serve. So I love
the higher, I look at it as like a higher value. I mean, I think, you know, it's not just Steve runs an agency. It's that, you know, I am responsible for a lot of success of a lot of businesses. A lot of businesses are banking on Mute 6 to really help them get to the next level. And I think there's a sense of chivalry that really goes along with that, that like chivalry purpose, like I'm going to do whatever I take in my power to really make sure that that's a success. And the reality is, and I tell each and every client that works with us, that it might not go as planned. Like we might not reach our goals. I don't want to put that thought into people, but you got to understand both the best possible scenario and the worst possible scenario. Obviously, we've had a ton of success, more case studies on Facebook, hundreds of millions of dollars a year in spend. But the reality is people want to know, they want you to be real with them. And I pride that on both myself and my team to really be able to communicate on a very deep level.
That's great. So what advice would you give to those listening today on who want to be entrepreneurs or owning their own business? What advice would you give to them?
Don't do it because of what other people look like. Don't do it because it looks cool. Don't do it because of, you know, of how it looks, I guess, per se. Do it because you feel very, very strongly about what you're doing and the value you're bringing to the market. Do it because you see an opportunity that you could bring value to people in their lives. If you do it for the wrong reasons, even if you're successful, you're not going to feel a sense of purpose in what you do. And I think that that's something that I learned, is that at the time I started Mute 6, I saw a gigantic amount of value that I could bring to the market with the skill set that I've had over the years. I built up this skill set. I built up a lot of social equity in this skill set. So what I would say is to other entrepreneurs is, number one, find a sense of value you could bring to the market. Number two, figure out, you know, who that audience is that can really use this value. Then after you have a little bit of market fit, you'll find people who share the same values as you. Find other people in your network that want to join you in being able to kind of create that, you know, create a team around this, around generating this value, because that's what's going to help you grow. I mean, there's a lot of really talented marketers out there who are, you know, just single people shows. And I think the reality is that you can't be the smartest person in the room. You have to always grow other people around you. That's why I'm not even close to the smartest marketer on my team anymore, Belinda. Isn't that crazy? I'm not even close.
Yeah, that is. But I think that's awesome. I think that when you can mentor and raise people up to be like, that's the ultimate goal. I've always thought is to have a team. I want people on my team smarter than me, and especially in particular areas of my strengths, but as well as my weaknesses. And so many people struggle with, I hate to call it jealousy, but it is, I don't know if it's control. Maybe it's more of control. Like they feel they have to be smarter. And when somebody starts to kind of do better in them, there's almost this need to kind of put them in their place or show them that, look, I'm still the boss here. I think people feel like as the boss, they've got to be the best. And I just have always felt very much like yourself. It's like, gosh, happy is the day that I'm not the smartest person in the room.
So I guess it comes a little bit of, you know, not having a big ego, maybe. Mm-hmm. I always think about this because when I first started this company, and I had, you know, 10 or 15 people I was really close with. They were calling me boss. Like I'd be in a car with someone and be like, hold on, this is my boss. And it made me feel really uncomfortable because I didn't think that I was better than them. I think I was their, you know, I didn't come from a military background, so I didn't think I was above them. I really just thought that, you know, we're all a team. Like there shouldn't be a specific rank and file. But the more and more I became, you know, we've grown this company, there's a sense that they look at me as the boss, so because they want my leadership. They want me to be able to put them in positions to be successful. But I think I guess the bigger point I'm trying to make here is there's two sides to that. There's number one, you have to acknowledge that there's stuff I don't know. There's people on the team that are smarter than me, and there's stuff I can learn from each and every person So I'm going to put my ego aside and say, you know what, my mind is open. I'm open to be blown away every day from people on my team or even clients we work with. I don't know every single thing about digital marketing. Even though I've done it for a while, there's still stuff that people can teach me. And right. That's the reality. You know, you learn something new every day. So being open to learning something new and keeping saying that I don't know everything is, I think, very important. But number two, like, I think that it's important on the flip side, you know, you are the leader and you are, you know, for better or for worse, they might be smarter than you, but at the end of the day, you're responsible. Like if it doesn't go well, you got to raise your hand and say, listen, as an entrepreneur, this is on me. Like this is the result here is like on me. And I have to, whether it's the result they want or whether something went wrong, like you have to be responsible and say, you know, we have to do better and we are going to do better. And I think that's kind of the parallel lines you have to run as an entrepreneur is both sides is that, on one hand, you're not the smartest, but on the other hand, you have to be responsible for everyone.
That's great. You know, it's funny because I do professional speaking and it's me that speaks. I'm the speaker. But when I'm discussing it with the company, I'll say, so when we speak at your event, and so then they get confused and they're like, or when you hire us, that's what I always say, when you hire us. And so then they say, oh, I didn't realize you had other speakers. You're going to be the speaker, right? And then I'm always like, well, yes, I'm the speaker. However, my team, you're going to be working with my team so that I can be the absolute best speaker at your event possible. From my preparation to the homework to understanding your culture to getting me the documents I need to executing the contract professionally to making sure everything. And they're like, oh, I go, so there's a whole other process than me just showing up and speaking at your event if you want me to be the absolute best speaker that I can be. And then there, but I always refer to us and we, and then they get confused, but I look at it as they make me look good. They make me the best version of myself every single time I walk out of the store.
I hate to use sports analogies, but I played a little college football, and I'm always making like sports analogies in the office. But you know, LeBron James, he didn't have the best team yesterday when he played against the, I don't know if you're a sports fan, but the Cavaliers played against the Celtics. He was the biggest single contributor. But the reason that makes LeBron James, you know, a legend at what he does is he figured out ways to elevate people and convince people in their mind that they are better than what they actually are. And I think that's like, you know, I look at LeBron James, the leader, and I say there's a lot of qualities in LeBron that I want to have as myself. It's like, wow, it's amazing. If I could convince my team to be in their minds that they are better than what they actually than what they actually are, I convince them that they're, you know, that then we're gonna be better as a team. So I think like instead of some entrepreneurs, some bosses will put people down and say you're not good at this, you're bad at that, and I think it's a terrible way to manage, because I think at the end of the day, like, people are smart enough to know when they mess up and they need someone around them who's gonna make them feel like convince them that they're better.
Absolutely. So, Steve, in closing, why don't you tell our listeners where they might find you if they're obviously looking for a company that can help them in some digital marketing and any new and exciting things that you want to mention?
Yeah, you can reach me directly. It's steve@mutesix.com. Once again, Mute6 is a leader in performance marketing for e-commerce brands on Facebook, search, and email. So we help companies scale at profitability their customer acquisition. So if you have a question about are there anything Facebook advertising, Google advertising, let's say you're already spending on Facebook, you're trying to figure out how do you scale at profitability from $50,000 a month to $200,000 a month, you can reach out to me directly. That's kind of what our team is. Team's bread and butter. We also do all the creative on Facebook. So any type of really cool Instagram videos, any type of Instagram story videos, we build all of our creative in-house. Number two, what I'm really proud of is that's a big one. I'm proud of like the growth spurt of our team. Like I see team members are just becoming leaders. And I know it's a bigger picture thing, but number one, you know, I'm proud that they are taking ownership and they're leading. And I have a team of leaders. And I guess number two is on a personal note, I'm getting a dog, which I'm really, really excited about as well.
That's fun. Well, good. That should be fun. I know. Puppies, are you getting a puppy?
Yeah, I'm getting a puppy.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun and a lot of work, and so I'm sure you'll have both of that.
Yeah, I need that.
There you go. Well, Steve, it's been delightful having you on the show today, and thank you so much for... I just appreciated your insightfulness. It was, you just gave some really great gold nuggets, and I hope people will go back and really tap into those, because you brought a fresh perspective to the interview today. So thank you.
Oh, thank you for having me. I mean, I get a lot of purpose out of doing these podcasts, and obviously if I could bring a little bit of positive energy and positive inspiration to your listeners, that makes my day.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.